You know what? We could do with another Sarah, another Rahab, another Ruth, another Joshua, another Gideon, another Moses. But I tell you what, people, God is calling your name. God is calling your name, each and every one of you. Every one of you have different names, but you have the same heart for God. I know the heart of this church, and I know that you've all got a heart for God. But you know what? He knows your name, and he's calling your name this morning, not somebody else's name. You know what I'd like to do this moment? Just call out your name. Come on, just call out your name this morning. No one's calling it out. Come on, Jared, say it loud. Jared, 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 Jared. I love Jared. Praise God. But you know, he is calling your name. Do you know that? Each and one, every one of you, praise God. You know, sometimes conditions can be pretty rough. But I'm telling you right now, I believe that conditions now are ripe and ready. I believe it with all my heart. Why do you think the enemy's going out with everything that he's got? Now is the time. I tell you what, people, we've got too many if-onlys in our life. We do. If only, if only, if only, if only, if only. But I believe that we need to wake up to do what we have in our hands to do right now. Let's forget about the past. Let's stop worrying about what's not happening and let's use what's in our hands to do right now. You're the person that God has chosen for now. Is that exciting? Yes. Point to yourself. Hey, me, me, little me, big me. Praise God. You will and can make a difference. Does that excite you, people? I tell you, leap into spring is one of those light bulb moments. Praise God. You're just in the natural. As we go, oh, please soon, go from this horrible darkness and cold. I'm freezing. Of winter overnight, just overnight. You know, it's a few more weeks into September. It's going to be spring. But you know what? We have seen lots of flowers in spring. But it's only because somebody sowed them in winter. We sow in our winter times. You know, if you don't sow plants in winter, I tell you what you're going to get in spring, weeds. Isn't that correct? Leap into spring is an opportunity to sow into our community, into our nations and the nations of the world. Amen? And to other people. You know, it is about money in a way, but to me, it's never, giving's never about money to me. It's not. It's about legacy. Mr. Noble was about legacy, bringing peace into the world. Yes, he gave money. Yes, he gives $1 million every year. But you know, to him, it's not about money. It's about legacy. It's about changing the situation in the world. Amen? Praise God. You know, we don't always see the results. And sometimes it seems like a sacrifice when we sow, especially into something like, you know, what you're doing in a couple of weeks. But you know what? In the natural, but I tell you what, spring always eventuates. It will always eventuate. What we sow will germinate. Is that exciting? If we have to sow in great faith, you know, sow in great faith and whatever the way we sow, but I'm going to tell you people, it will germinate. There will be a legacy from what you give, praise God. But you know, as I said, it'll only happen as we sow beforehand. I can tell you what, people, we've got to stop lamenting. We've got to quit saying, one day I'm going to do something. One day I'm going to make a difference. One day I'm going to be a good wife. Well, I've had 51 years practice and I haven't got there yet. One day I'll make a sacrifice. You know, people, I really feel in my heart that now is the time. The moment is right now to say, yes, Lord. There will never be a greater time. I tell you, people, it's right now. It's time for all us to give our best. I feel it in my heart with great expectation of what God's going to do. I tell you, it's right now that we need to pour our life out for God. Amen? not just for leaping to spring, which to me is so important, but in all areas of our lives. We've got to throw up our hands. Come on, people. And say, God, I surrender to your will. Not to gossip, not to Facebook, but I surrender to your will. Isn't that an incredible thing? We should be saying, use me. Oh, but you know they're doing that, really? You should be saying, use me. Empower me. Anoint me. Give me the big picture. I tell you, God, give me a generous spirit. Let your will be done in my life so I can make a difference in other people's lives. I tell you, people, we need a light bulb moment like Mr. Noble. Because honestly, you know, we want to leave a legacy to the next generations, don't we? To me, my life has always been about legacy, about what am I leaving behind. Leaping to spring is one of those many opportunities. You know, it's an incredible vehicle to bring peace into this world. And Jesus is the Prince of Peace, you know. Isn't that incredible? We look at the financial side, but we should be looking at the legacy and the lives. You know, there's lives in India right now that are changing. Women that are standing up, that are changing their children's lives. I'm watching their little daughters follow them. And it's incredible what's happening in India with the women. People, it's just incredible. But, you know, you are part of that. You'll never meet those women. You'll never meet those girls. But you became part of their legacy when you gave to Leap Into Spring. We have to realize that. You know, it's 9 years ago now that God put on my heart to start. I've been going to India for many years, start the Sari ministry. And, you know, I just left my job and I left the church because, you know, I used to be the senior pastor there. And, you know, and I thought, God, this is ridiculous. Why are you giving me a light bulb moment? I can't even support myself. And now suddenly I have to support all these widows. That's how I really felt. You know, but God, I'm glad I listened to that light bulb moment. I didn't see how I was going to do it. How could I possibly do it? I can tell you now, after 9 years, we've given out over 10,000 saris. 10,000 saris. It is. And not only that, We're now giving out to Punjabi sets because, you know, suits, because you have to understand that a lot of widows over there are 14 and 16 years of age. So now we're changing tact and we're making sure we're getting these little suits made so that these young girls can wear them as well. And, you know, we also feed 70 widows monthly. It's not a lot over there, but that's 70 widows that don't have to worry about how they can feed their children. You know, I travel to the poorest of places. You have no idea where we go. And most of it's at our own costs. I go on horrendous train journeys. Oh, my. I sweat thinking about them. But, I've traveled nearly all over India in a train. Oh, I could tell you some stories. No amenities. Oh, and that's harder when you get older, I tell you. No sleep. I do so many conferences. I do so much teaching of not just me, a team, but the people that are supporting. We're all part of it, teaching people, loving on them. One day at a conference, I hugged 800 women. 800 women. You know, they looked 60, but they were 30. Their faces were lined. Their backs are way out in the middle of the country. Their backs were bent over because of all the hard work they did. Their hands were crippled. And as they put their hands on their face, I could smell the dung from their hands because that's what they do for a living, collect the dung for firewood. That's how these women keep these children, you know, in food. But people, we are part of that legacy. I have seen these women change like you wouldn't believe. In all that story, I took a young woman over there with me on a missions trip. She ended up marrying the pastor. And she's over there now and she's got two little boys. You wouldn't believe how she's turning these women around. So you don't know. I didn't know all that happened when I had that light bulb moment. But God's just taking it. Now she's taking it. She's gradually taking it. I have another young woman with me, Sharon Wright, and you can see that she's just going to move into my position one day. And it's incredible. So let us see. So when I die, they'll still be looked after. But you know, you haven't met these women. You haven't met these girls. But just point to yourself and say, I'm part of their lives. Because I give in to leap into spring. I'm part of their lives. I'm just talking about India. There's many other parts of lives that you'll be a part of. You know, yes, finance is involved. But to me, I tell you, that's an important vehicle. But it's the results. It's the legacy that we want to be remembered for. Isn't it, people? Legacy of bringing hope and honour, well-being, self-worth, peace to generations to come. Doesn't that excite you that you can be part of that? We need that mindset. It's not just about money. It's leaving a legacy for the future. Saris for widows was a light bulb moment for me. You know why it worked? Because others came on board. I remember telling Andrew about it just when I first started, and I think she held a morning tea or something straight away and gave finances for it, because it wasn't about the money, it was about these women and the legacy, you know, because we have to understand that things are getting harder and harder in India. You have no idea what they're going through over there now. You know, they've closed down 120,000 Christian organisations. They've closed down Compassion. They're closing it all down. India is closing in. It's closing in very fast. So many people are losing their visit visas. So please pray I actually get one this year, because it's people like me that they are stopping going in. Only small fry, but they're stopping it. It is so hard. But these women, they're rising up. It's just so incredible. Incredible. I tell you, leaping to spring, when we give to that, we're giving to families and whatever. But you know, but I had to listen to the Holy Spirit, people, and that was contrary to my situation. Often when God gives you a light bulb moment, it's contrary to your situation. Do you know that? To leap into the unknown like Andrea's doing, make changes, sacrifice. You know, I believe that God would provide and all that. But, you know, also I had to believe for the time, the energy, the sacrifice that this vision required. Do you know, people, so often when we move into a light bulb moment, we will be challenged. I'm telling you right now. And the vision was challenged last year, just before I went back to India last year, where I saw incredible things. But I really felt that my time was finished as a minister, doing the widows and everything. I was so tired and I just felt it was all to an end, because my husband had five heart procedures in 13 months. And I thought, God, I just can't do this. How can I do this? I want to do it. I want to go. The women aren't ready. What am I going to do? And God kept saying, go, go, go. And when I went over there, I saw more fruit to the ministry than I'd ever seen before. And I said, God, you know, the enemy nearly stopped me. So, you know, I came back and I thought, God, now what do I do? You know, do I keep on with this? We won't believe it. I was only back about 3 weeks or 4 weeks or maybe 5 weeks from India. And my husband had a car accident and broke his neck. That was David. You know, I thought, God, this is ridiculous. That's so ridiculous. I just can't do it anymore. What are you saying? I don't understand. And we start questioning God when we have a light bulb moment, because I'm being honest with you. I question, you know, you told me to leave my job. You told me to do this. Now it's all suddenly finishing. God, what do I do? You know, I was really calling out to God. And I'm going to tell you, people, because I know some of you have been through it. You know, that night when he had the accident, there was lots of things happened that night. It was horrendous what happened. And even that 4 weeks in hospital was horrendous. But you know what? One night I laid on that bed and tears flowed out of my face for 9 hours. I am not a crier. I couldn't stop the tears for 9 hours, because I thought, God, I don't understand all this. But you know what I understand? There's a ministry in tears, because you know what I was doing? I was playing with my tears. Sometimes we cry so much we don't realize that we're playing with our tears, that he takes every tear. He tells me in the Word of God. He takes every tear. Isn't that wonderful? And actually, I was praying as I was crying. But you know what I found out about all that? Two things, actually. People kept saying to me, there's a light at the end of the tunnel. But you know, I'm going to tell you something. It's not true. It's not true. Because every time I turned around, it was another train. But I tell you what I found. In that black hole, I found Jesus in a different way. In a different way. That I found the light in the black hole. Oh, Jesus. You know, we need to challenge our thinking. That is this, people. Knowing that God can do something in our situation. Or more courageously, we start believing God can do something. Even a bolder position would be expecting God will do something for you and use you. The light bulb moment. Turning from defeat, believing and living in expectation. Amen? That word of expectation has never left me from that night of crying. I tell you why, because you know you've heard from the Holy Spirit. See, the farmer who believes God can bring rain, he can pray, but he just goes about his normal work. Or you got the farmer who prays for rain, expects rain, and prepares his field for rain. Because he lives in expectation. People, we've sown for years and years, years. This church has sown so much. But I'm going to tell you, you need to get such an expectation to know that you're going to see great harvest from what you've sown. It's time for harvest. For people, for work, for whatever. I'm telling you, every one of you. Most of you have been a part of this church for a long time. I'm telling you, there's a great harvest coming. But we've got to get that expectations. We've got to stop looking at the dark hole. We've got to stop looking. Oh, we're going to give again. Really? I tell you what, people. We need to get filled with expectation. As you can see, I have more expectation in my heart for God to move than I've ever had in my whole life. And it came out of a black hole experience. Because He is God. Amen? Praise God. Sometimes we hear from God. Sometimes we have a light bulb moment. And we move out. And we can also move out in great expectation. And we get confirmation after confirmation. And we believe we're on the right path. But no immediate results. What happened? Didn't I hear right? Progress is slow or it halts. Discouragement sets in. Doubts. I was going to give up. Ring up the Apostolic Church and say, I don't want to be on the board anymore. I don't want to be a minister anymore. But you know, the Bible teaches that when God promises, and He has given every one of us promises, we are to be people who live in great expectation of His promises. That's where I was missing it, see? I was looking at what I couldn't do, what I should have been doing. But I now have got that expectation in His promises. Is that exciting, people? Expectation in His promises. Luke chapter 2, verses 25 to 35, I think it is. 25, 27. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him and had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see the death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple. So you notice that he came by the Spirit. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the Lord, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples. Amen. Simeon had been in the temple for years and years and years. The Holy Spirit had come upon him. In those days, the Holy Spirit used to come and go and come. But you know, he knew the power of the Holy Spirit. And he'd heard from the Holy Spirit many years ago that Jesus Christ would be born. Can you imagine the years and years he waited in that temple? And I tell you what, people, we have to understand that God gives us the power to wait. He gives us power to wait. What happens? It doesn't happen. So we move into something else. I could have moved away from everything that night. But He gives us the power to wait. But I tell you what, Simeon came to that temple that day. And when Mary walked in with that child, he knew who that child was. Can you imagine? No one would believe. They didn't believe him when they said he was Jesus, let alone them, but he knew who it was. But you know what the great thing was about it? He had such expectation for God to fulfill his promises that he ran up to Mary and Joseph. He grabbed the baby. He never asked their permission, and he blessed that child. Is that incredible? But sometimes we wait and wait for our promises. They don't seem to come. And when they do come, we don't see them. But Simeon, see, he saw them because the Holy Spirit was upon him. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. To live with great expectation, have the Word of God in us. See, one of the reasons many Christians are discouraged. But you know what I've found a lot lately? A lot of bored Christians. They forget what the Bible says about them and God's promises and purpose for their life. They stop living in expectation that he will fulfill his promise to us and therefore fulfill our purpose. The word in us will cause great expectation to come back into our life. See, it's the word of God. We need to get the word of God in us because that word is what will give us great expectation to believe in his promises. Praise God. We need to feed the promise that God's given you. Who's been given promises here? Every one of us, come on. We've got to feed these promises again. We've got to believe these promises again. We've got to feed on the Word of God because the Word of God will not return void. You know, Isaiah 55:11 says, "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but shall accomplish what I please and shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." You know what, people? God's Word can never, ever come back void. God's word will always do what it says to do. So how do we wait for these things? How do we get back into believing God's promises again? Just getting the word of God into us. Believing the word of God, not what we see, what we're going through, but believing the word of God. Mr. Noble had a light bulb moment and his future was rewritten. But not only was his future rewritten, but so were many nations of the world. Many people's lives have been changed because he had a light bulb moment. I believe it's time we had a light bulb moment and let God rewrite our future. And best way to do that is to leap into spring. Leap into spring with great expectation. Knowing you're leaving a legacy of hope, healing, freedom, peace and future for many. I tell you, light bulb moments are changing, not just for us, but for the world we're in. Aren't you excited? Aren't you excited about the promises of God? He has promised. We forget about his promises and look at our situation. Oh, Father God, I just pray for everyone in this place. You know, I'm believing for a light bulb moment now. For someone here this morning. Someone is here, doesn't really know the Lord in this way. Or you've been thinking about the Lord, or you're not quite sure. I'm praying right now that he'll give you a light bulb moment. And the light bulb moment is this, that he loves you. That he loves you. Doesn't matter where you've been or what you've done, he has a purpose for your life. I pray that is a light bulb moment you'll get at this moment. Whether you're young or old, that you will know but know that God the Father, the creator of the whole earth, oh, loves you and has a purpose for your life. And just as Mr. Noble's life turned around immediately, your life can turn around. Yes, it'll take time to get to know him in that great way, but he'll be with you all the way. Oh, I pray there'll be a light bulb moment for someone in this room this morning. If that is you, just lift your hands right now. A light bulb moment. You know, oh God, I really want to know this God. I really want to know this God. Or maybe it's a light bulb moment. You know, I've been looking at all this stuff around me, all this stuff that's been slurring around and around and around. I forgot to look at the promises of God. If that is you, just lift your hand right now. Yes. Oh, Father. Oh, Father, we thank you. We thank you for your promises. We thank you, Lord, that you're placing in our hearts such great expectation. Oh, God, because we know that you're on the move. We know you're doing incredible things. And all our expectation is rising, Father, because of your word. Oh, we thank you, Father. Father, give every one of us a light bulb moment. And that is that you are with us, that we are in you, that you see us and know us and love us, and you have a purpose for us. And you are so wanting for us to leave a legacy for the next generations. Oh, Father, I thank you in Jesus' name. Oh, God. People, my prayer is that you will shift away from thinking, oh, you know, nothing's going to change, and have that great expectation that God's going to do great miracles in your life. Amen. Thank you. God bless you.